Felicia will introduce Wade, our first speaker.
Hi, family. I'm an addict. My name is Felicia.
Hey, Felicia.
And the person that I'm introducing is more of a brother to me. He loves this program. He lives this program to the best of his ability. And I've seen him, like, come in. I can remember a few years, 2019, I was the convention chair, and I asked him, would he come on and help in programming? It's like, he does a lot of work behind the scene, but he does a lot of work even when nobody's looking. Like, he's really, really a spiritual person. I've seen him help out on all committees and not give up. I've seen him, we had a close home group member that passed, and he set the whole, made the arrangements so that we can say goodbye and do a memorial. He lives this program. He always sends me a prayer, and God knows what I need. And a lot of times it comes from him when I'm about to go to jail. It's like sometimes I have to call him and say, I should have read that prayer first. You know, I am so grateful. I love him. He's a friend. And I'm grateful that you're in my life. And I'm so grateful you're here. You know, and he'll tell you his story, not me. I just love him, you know, and my husband loves him. So this is Wade, y'all.
Trying to trip myself. My name is Wade. I'm an addict.
Hey, Wade.
I'm only here through God's grace and mercy. Thank you. I don't take this thing lightly at all. First came into this program June 21st, 1991. I was introduced to this program by my cousin. I had just buried my grandmother and spent the night with my cousins drinking and getting high. Took a 30-mile ride to my sister-in-law's house, and she found me in my car at 6 o'clock in the morning and threw three pitchers of ice-cold water on me to wake me up. That tells me I was on my way out. You know, I don't know how many people I may have hurt in that process of that drive. I just don't know. I went home to my wife in desperation and looked at her and said, I can't do this no more. And she called my cousin, and she had 5 years clean, and she took me to my very first NA meeting on a Friday night in New Jersey, Matawan, New Jersey, and introduced me to this program. I put 16 years into this recovery process, and I relapsed. This fellowship had given me so much. I hear the brother talking about being locked up. I don't know how many felonies I got. I don't even know how many felony convictions I have. I know my probation officer just told me that I need to get my ass back into Narcotics Anonymous. My cousin told me that at a family reunion that time was running out. And I told her, I'll get myself straight, Stacy, again. 2 weeks later, she went to a woman's conference with her mother at her church and stood at this podium and getting ready to recite a poem by Maya Angelou to her mother. Turned to her mother and said, Mommy, I love you. And she turned back to the podium and dropped dead. I had just made a promise to her that I would get my life back together. That was in September. On January 6, 2015, I went back into my third treatment center. And I promised my higher power that if he helped me get through this, I would never use again. January 6th of this year, I celebrated 11 years. I don't take this lightly. I do anything and everything that I have to do, except for, and I'm not ashamed to say it, because I've been through the steps 3 or 4 times already, and I'm stuck on step 4. I got a sponsee sister that stays in my ass about it, you know, and I'm grateful for that. It's not that I'm afraid of it. See, some of us want to say we're afraid of it. We're just in damn denial. Refusal. That's all it is. That's all it is. I don't want to do it. It's not that I'm afraid of finding out anything, because I basically have found out what I'm going to find out in the 36 years I've been around here. 35 years. I just don't want to write. Now, those that are in here that are newcomers, please don't follow the direction that I'm doing. Write. Peel that onion. Find out what it is that truly you are here for. We were having a conversation at the table this afternoon, this afternoon with some people, and we were talking about what is your purpose. If you stay around this program long enough and you do what is necessary to be done, you will find out what your purpose is. I truly believe that our higher power has placed us here for a reason. We just got to figure out what that reason is. And your sponsor, your sponsees, your sponsor brothers, your sponsor sisters, your circle will help you get there. I have a very, very large circle. This don't stay in my area. I go everywhere. I've been all over this country. Not to speak, but to conventions, to meetings, to hang out with people, to go over step work with people, to do the traditions, to do the concepts. They want to say we got 24, I beg the difference, we got 36. You need to learn you need to learn your steps first, then go through your traditions, and also learn the concepts. If you don't, you're selling yourself short. I am so happy that the people that I came in with into recovery with in the first time around were big into literature, were big into step work. When I came into recovery, we didn't have none of this. We had the basic texts, but we didn't have the guiding principles. We didn't have step work books. We didn't have none of that stuff. What we had was a piece of paper that we pass from person to person, and that's how we did our step work. That's how we did our traditions. Concepts came later when the books came out. It came later. But when it came, we got into it. My first sponsor told me to get certain groups. He told me to get an open dump meeting. He told me to get a step meeting. He told me to get a tradition meeting. He told me to go to area and sit down because I like to argue and learn. That's the way you're going to work. That's the way you're going to learn. You're going to break some traditions before you learn them. And I don't know why I went there, because that ain't my topic. But that's what's on my heart. So I truly believe that trust me, this is not a religious program, it is a spiritual program. But I really truly believe that's what my God laid on my heart for me to say. Because somebody needs to hear it. Maybe I need to hear it for myself again. You know what I'm saying? My topic, the power of inclusion, which is really the third tradition. I want to read some things to you real quick. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. A desire to stop using. The tradition is important for both the individual and the group. The desire is the key word. Desires is the basis of our recovery. In our stories and in our experience, trying to carry the message of recovery to an addict who still suffers. One painful fact of life has emerged again and again. An addict who does not want to get clean is not going to get clean. I don't give a shit if you take him and lock him up, beat him up, cuss him out. And I don't cuss a lot, I'm sorry. You know, that's something that I learned. My sponsor said we change everything. Everything is part of the way we talk. I'm not on the street corner anymore. I'm not in the go-go bar anymore. I'm not chasing the women in the street anymore. I got one wife who I love to life. She is my angel. She saved me. I married her when I was 21, divorced her when I was 22, married another girl when I was 24, divorced her at the age of 26. My wife came and found me at 29 on a street corner in Newark, New Jersey, brought me home. I went to jail at Rikers Island for the next 9 months. I came home, she got pregnant. We got remarried. We're coming up on our 37th anniversary. Now, it ain't all been good years. She done rock and roll with me through some stuff. Cheating, lying, dumping bank accounts. An addict who does not want to stop using will not stop using. They can analyze, counsel, reason with, prayed over, threatened, beaten, locked up, but they will not stop until they want to stop. The only thing we ask of our members is that they have a desire. With it, without it, they are doomed. But with it, miracles will happen. That's from the basic text from Tradition 3. That's the first paragraph. That's the literature. That ain't me. That's the literature. I love this book, The Guiding Principles. The Guiding Principles, to me, goes deeply into the traditions. It goes deeply into the traditions. Not only goes for the individual, it goes for the group, and it goes for service. It has questions and answers in there that sometimes we don't want to answer. Sometimes we don't even want to look at it. On the opening of it, it says, working the steps depends on our understanding of membership. We begin with surrender. We find hope. We make a decision. The third tradition confronts us with our prejudice, control issues, and empathy. Openness calls for a change of heart. Our minds may change quickly, but to change our hearts, we have to humbly ask. The more real we get, the more willing we are to let go of our defects, secrets, and resentments. We make amends and clean up after ourselves, and we don't have to brag or We don't have to drag our shame and fear around anymore. Because our membership in NA is secure, we are free to be honest about who we are. NA members create connections and belong. We are part of something greater than ourselves, and it's changed us. There's no single way to be an NA member, nor model, or recovering addict. The most powerful message we carry is the simple truth and of our experience. Our real value is being ourselves. We are the message of hope. What am I saying? What is that saying? A lot of people want to try to figure out what your desire is to be here. What my desire is to be here. Ain't nobody got no damn right to tell us what your desire is. Some of us with years and experience in this program still don't have the desire to do what is necessary to be done to be clean. We still run around fornication, lying, cheating, stealing. And doing all kind of outrageous nonsense. Coming to meetings and being judgmental of people. Is that having a desire to be clean? Or is that just wanting to have your own way? When I relapsed and I came back, I got some friends in this program that are major speakers in this program. Travel the world. And when I came back, I went to one and I asked him, can I hang out with you? He said, yeah, Wade, I'm going to speak at this meeting down in South Jersey on Monday. I'll come and pick you up. I don't know about you. I was raised without a father. And when my father would tell me something, I would stand at the window and look out the window and wait for him to show up. And when he didn't show up, I was so disappointed and so hurt. But this day, when this brother who I knew from the day that we came into recovery together told me he was coming to pick me up, I was standing in the window. Car would come by. My wife would say, that's him. I said, no, that ain't him. He's supposed to pick me up at 6:30, at 7 o'clock. I called him. He didn't answer. 7:05, I called him again. He didn't answer. 7:15, I called him again. He didn't answer. He didn't show up at all. And we're talking about somebody at that particular time had about 25 years in recovery. Later on down the line, I was getting ready to sell my house, and I was trying to do it myself, and he was a real estate broker. And he said, Wade, I'll help you. And he came to my house and he sat down and we started talking and we brought up that topic. And I asked him, why didn't you come and get me? He said, because you hurt me. I said, what do you mean you hurt me? He said, when you relapse, you hurt me. And I didn't trust then your desire to stay clean. See, in that previous 10 years, I would come back for 30 days, get clean, and go use. I'd come back for 6 months, get clean, go use. I'd come back for a year, supposed to show up with macaroni and cheese at the anniversary, and I was somewhere getting high. So he couldn't measure my desire to want to stay here. So he didn't show up. And I didn't understand how people felt, how I hurt people by me relapsing. So we build relationships in here. And sometimes those relationships go so deep that when we do something that we feel we're hurting ourselves, we're doing nothing but hurting those around us. I would never hurt this sister here. I would never hurt her husband. I would never hurt April. It's my sponsee sister. I would never hurt Robin. Why? Because my desire today is something of love, not of hurt. So I got a desire to be all that I can be. I ran away from that when I relapsed. I go to another fellowship and I was very involved in it. And please don't go out of this fellowship with a religious zeal. This program will give you a God of your understanding. It will help you understand and search for that pit that you got in your stomach that you're trying to fill. It will send you somewhere else. Please don't get so involved that you got involved like I did, that I forgot what the program was about. So I got involved in that fellowship, and I went from being involved in the security, from security to being an armor bearer, from an armor bearer to being this, from being that, and being this, and being that, until it got to the point where I didn't do no step work, I didn't go to meetings, I didn't do nothing. And then when it came down time that where I was having a problem with my business, and I needed someone to help me, they told me go sit in the corner. And I was too embarrassed to come to you and say, listen, I got a problem. So I used. You need a God of your understanding. Trust Him. Have faith. But don't get on a religious zeal. I don't know why that came out. Like I say, I'm just telling you my truth. My purpose. I sit today still in that same fellowship with a collar. But that collar don't mean nothing in here. Nothing. All it does is allow me to tap into my faith a little more to try to help you tap into yours. That's all it does. My sister said to me, you're going to pray? Yeah, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. The literature tells you to pray. How many times is God mentioned in this book? 364 times. So I'm not afraid of it today. But back then, when someone asked me about it, I was very afraid. Because I grew up without a higher power. I was not taught that. What I was taught was how to get over, manipulate in the streets. That's what I was taught. Today, I pray for people. Night and day. Today, through this program, if I'm walking down the street and I see that someone is hurting, I will stop you and ask you, are you okay? Because see, nobody wanted to do that for me. My purpose in life today is to make sure that those that are around me are okay. I don't know many of you in here, but I love each and every one of you. Because you have my heart in your heart. When I was asked to come here, it was only about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I asked the individual, why me? She said, why not you? You got a message. Carry the message. That's all we're asked to do. And in the process of carrying the message, it's just very simple. Walk in the light that you're supposed to walk in. Reach for the light. There it is right there. I don't walk in darkness anymore. I can't walk in darkness. If I walk in darkness, I'm liable to go back to that lifestyle again. And I don't want to go back there. So I surrender each and every day. My ritual is when I wake up, I don't sit up, I lay there, I pray. I have NA literature on the side of my bed that when I pick it up each every day, I read just for today. I read the SPAD. Then I sit up on side of the bed and I sit on side of the bed and I start to ask the God of my understanding, what is it that you have for me today? What is it that you want me to do today? Then I write out my prayer. And I text it to 368 people every morning, individually. I don't believe in that mass text. And I don't want 99,000 returns. And I know you don't want it either. Then I get up and I go downstairs and I kiss my wife and I have breakfast. Sometimes I kiss her. She don't want me bothering me sitting in the morning. You know. So I hope I stayed on the topic for you. I hope I brought a clear Narcotics Anonymous message. I don't know how much more time I got, but I know. 2 minutes? Okay. I just do what I need to do. So if I said something that hurt you, call your damn sponsor. If I said something to help you, trust me, it's not for me, it's from the God of my understanding. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Now Wade will introduce April.
My name is Wade, I'm an addict.
Hey, Wade!
This young lady, she's my sponsee sister. I met her at a meeting in Macon, Georgia. I seen her walking up the driveway and she had this walk about her that said, "Don't mess with me." And I looked at that walk and I said, "I know that walk." And when we got to talking and she told me she was from New York, I said, "Yeah, I figured she was from Harlem or Brooklyn, one of them places." And we just clicked. When I asked my sponsor to sponsor me, I did not know he was sponsoring her. And today, I'm grateful, truly, truly grateful that she's in my life. She's one of the very few people who can speak to me the way that she speaks to me. Because I don't allow it. And she don't care. And we have fun. We serve together. You know, she's the cheer of our area for the anniversary, and I do programming. And she just asked me to do it again, and I'm in rebellious mode, no. And she said, yes. And I said, no. And she said, okay, yes. So I'm doing it. With that, I give you April.
Hey family, I'm April, I'm an addict.
Hey,
I got a big mouth, right? Yeah. I'm the problem child in our family tree, as you can tell. Do we have anybody in here that has 30 days or less? 60 days or less? Oh, so we got some good clean time going on in here. 90 days or less. Come up here, baby. Come on. I have something for you. I don't like a lot of people. And so I took a very hard road for recovery, right? Getting clean was my only desire when I got here. I didn't want to make no friends. I didn't want to know nobody. I didn't want nobody to want to come over to my house and visit. I didn't want to go visit nobody. I didn't want nobody to tell me I need to do nothing. I just wanted to not get high so I could get back to where I came from. That was my only intention. I brought that into recovery with me. I went to jail in recovery because of my attitude. And it's hard, right? So if you had just 1 minute to think about the day that you walked in Narcotics Anonymous, your very first meeting that you walked into, and you looked around, and you was like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to talk to nobody. Ain't nobody going to be able to help me. I don't want nobody to know my business. I wonder if somebody knows my business. And so, by the time I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I had felt so low, I was standing on the street corner. I was prostituting. I was standing on the street corner. I couldn't get any lower. I couldn't get any lower. So when I walked into my first meeting, I was like, I just want to stop doing drugs because I want to stop selling ass and I want to get back to where I came from and I want to be able to look at myself in the face. I might want to go home and say hello to my mother a minute. But I don't want y'all to bother me. I don't need y'all. I didn't need you. See, by the time I did get clean, I went back to gangbanging. Right? I'm clean in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm making meetings. I'm doing step work. Yeah. I went back to the street when I got clean. I wasn't one of those that skipped into the meetings and I'm going to read and I'm going to help somebody and... Yeah, if you want me to help you, you're going to have to go with me to the club. You're going to have to hang out. You know what I'm saying? And so I didn't understand the dynamic of one addict helping another. Right? I didn't understand, like, diversity gives us strength. Right? And I'm here to tell you because I had, I am the problem child in my sponsorship tree. When I tell you I'm the problem child, I am the problem child. Now, I'm going to say something. You don't need to clap because there's a story with this. I have 33 years clean. Right? I have 10 years in recovery. Huh? Did you follow that? I have 33 years clean. I will have 34 years clean this year. I have 10 years in recovery in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I went to jail for armed robbery. Clean. Me and my sons, I thought we were going to be like Ma Barker and the boys. I had my sons jumped into gangs in my mother's backyard. Clean. I sold drugs. I hit the street. I had my sponsee laughing. We were sitting in the car talking. And I said, you know, I remember driving my Jeep, chasing somebody down in the woods because they owed me some money. Clean. Right? And see, if you don't know, you don't know. You understand what I'm saying? When you come in and you walk through the door, you're in survival mode. If you were anything like me when you were getting high, you were out there trying to survive the best way you could. How to get the next one? By any means necessary. I need to get high. I left home at 15. I was in the street of New York at 15 years old. I got clean in 1992. I was in Harlem growing up in the 60s. Yeah. My parents moved from Harlem, New York to Suffolk County. I don't know if anybody knows anything about New York. Suffolk County, New York. I had never seen a white person before in my life. Until we moved to Suffolk County. We were like the Jeffersons, right? We're moving on up. That's what we did. We moved from the brownstone in Harlem, New York. We moved to our own house. We had the fence and the pool and shit. We were one of them. I had never seen a white person before in my life. I was monkeys. I was a dog. I was a nigger. the little black girl. Your hair is nappy. What are you doing here? I guess they had never seen a black person either. Yeah. And I'm saying that because when you get on, because let me say this right, because tricking don't have no color. Do you follow me? It didn't have no color. There was no barrier, right? So you understand the assignment, but when I got clean for that moment, I went back into survival mode on how to protect me from the rest of the world. So I didn't want anybody to teach me anything. I've had my sponsor for 28 years. He is the only man that I've ever allowed close to me until the rest of these knuckleheads came along. 28 years I've had the same sponsor. My sponsor is almost 80 years old. We will ride the wheels off of this, right? But he is the only man that I've ever allowed to get close to me in my life. I also have a husband now, go figure. It's crazy because when you look at the newcomer that walks through the door, right, and they're scared, and they're wondering who can they talk to, who's going to care about me, who can I talk, who's going to keep my secret? Who's gonna look, you're hugging me, and I need to know exactly why you're hugging me so long. Let me go. Right? Because we don't know what hugs mean. We don't know what it means for somebody to tell us that they love us. We're so used to the separation, because see, I didn't have no friends when I was using. I had people who wanted to get high with you. You know what I'm saying? If you had it or they had it, that's how the friendship went. That moment. Okay? And so, like, to come into this program unwound, I was like a beast. I came in with high heel pumps on, stilettos. See, look, she laughing. She know. 6-inch heels. I'm coming to the South from New York. I had 5 years clean when I got out here. I had stiletto heels on, a mini skirt, breast showing, hair done. I'd walk into the meeting like, boom, here I go. Yeah, here I go. Look at me. Right? But I had decorated up the pain inside of me so good. I looked so good on the outside, but on the inside, I was like, please don't see me for who I really am. So the newcomer is scared when they walk through the door. I don't care how you look at them when they walk through. Like, you know, some of us come this different ways. Everybody's not having such a hard world to get here. But when they walk through the door, what do we know about somebody really loving on us? I didn't know. I did not know, right? So the lady that was just speaking is so crazy, right? Because I've had a lot of family die from this disease. And one of the things when they said the topic was inclusiveness, because I would always used to say, like, my mother knew that I was in the program on Narcotics Anonymous, and she knew I was clean for all this time. I wonder why she never got it. I have a son that's doing 20 years in prison now, right? He's an addict. I'd be like, damn, just want to shake him. I know he see what I'm doing. Why he can't get it? Because everybody's on their own journey. Everybody has a different path. Nobody's walking the same path. Everybody needs help on a path that they're walking on, right? If we all did the same thing, this would be a waste of time. If we all looked the same, if we all talked the same, if we all had the same thing to give, Narcotics Anonymous would be a waste of time. Let me tell you what's crazy, right? So I went to Augusta the year before last. I'm in Augusta at the convention. We went to the Augusta convention. And I kept going into the main speaker meeting, and this girl kept sitting next to me. And I'm like, why you keep sitting next to me? Right? I'm like, what's going on? Like, I don't even know you. And I went to 2 main speaker meetings and a couple of workshops, and she kept coming in and sitting next to me. And then when the countdown came, I found out she only had 30 days clean. Mm. And she said, I just wanted to sit next to you You seem like you were friendly. I said, girl, you got the wrong one. Yeah. I don't know what you saw, but you know, but the thing is, see, we don't know when we're changing on the outside, right? We don't know when we start learning some things that what we look like on the outside is no longer what we think we look like. And it takes somebody else to see me for who I've become, right? Because I still want to say I'm not friendly. But my brothers tell me I'm a teddy bear now.
That's right.
Right? You know what I'm saying? I came in Narcotics Anonymous like in a fight. I just didn't care. Male, woman, child. Right? And so, it's so crazy because I remember coming to a meeting and in the meeting, the women had children running around. I'm like, oh God, I don't like kids. I don't even like my own. Right? And so people were helping people with their children. Men, women were getting up, grabbing people's children, taking them outside to play and stuff. And I'm looking and I'm like, why? And last week somebody's child was acting up in a meeting and he kept running over to me and running and running and running over to me. And he just plopped himself in my lap. And I looked at him and I said, let's go outside. Wait a minute, it gets better. He was autistic, right? So I'm holding his hand and I'm walking with him. We walking all around the field and everything. I let his hand go for 2.3 seconds. He took off running and jumped in the middle of the biggest puddle he could find. I said, I'm taking your ass back inside. He started yelling, so I said, okay, I'm going to hold on to you. We're going to wait. The meeting's almost over. He took off running again. This time when he jumped in the puddle, water got. So look, let me tell you how good people know me in my area. When I busted that door open, everybody turned around and looked at me. They was like, don't kill the child. The power of change. The power that allows us to no longer separate ourselves because we find that the common denominator is that we all are trying to stay clean. A day at a time, right? You know, and like tradition 3 says, you know, it's a desire for one addict to want to stay clean. That's the only requirement to walk through the door. But sometimes as a newcomer, we walk through the door and we put in other requirements on ourselves because we're scared. And if I walk through the door and I'm scared and I'm thinking that don't nobody love me, it is the job of the people who have been here to allow them to understand that we're going to love you until you love to learn to love yourself. And that's some strange shit, right? That somebody else is going to love me better than I thought my mother and father could love me, right? Because they're going to be the miracle that helps me love who I am today, right? My sponsor, when I tell you he went through some stuff with me, whew, I don't even see how he made it. I don't even see how he made it, right? When I tell you he's the only man that I would talk to, right? He allowed me to call him. Like, my houses were getting raided. I would call my sponsor. I'm like, you know, my house got raided. He was like, I already know. They were talking about it in the meeting. I was like, well, damn. You know what I'm saying? So that, but it goes to show you that we ain't really got no secrets. You know what I'm saying? If it's going to be known, they're going to know it. I don't care how you try to duck it and tuck it. It's going, look, it'll beat you there, right? But he loved me in spite of my resistance. He loved me, right? And it's so crazy because from a molested girl by her father, this man loved me so good that after 28 years of being my sponsor, he's more like a father figure to me right now. He's my father, right? And it's just so crazy because we don't look for some of the things that we get when we allow people to just know that we all we got, right? Because if you go back in time, to say you were an addict was a dangerous thing to let people outside know. If you were an addict, you was never going to get your life together. But look at where we are now. Look at what we do together now. As group, look, we sit here no matter what color we are, what religious background we are, where we come from. We sit here now and we get this. Because together, we are strong. Together, Narcotics Anonymous is just one. We are strong. right? And you, if you had asked me that maybe 11, 12 years ago, I was like, fuck, I'm synonymous. Really? Like, I don't care about them. So let me tell you, because I'm going to tell you what made me run back in the rooms, right? My best friend, I got into a fight, and I sliced my back. I used to carry razors in my mouth because I'm crazy like that. I'm from New York. He told you where I'm from. And so I got into a fight, and I sliced my best friend on the arm. She needed 22 stitches. I ran every light. I was supposed to go to jail because you know when you go there and you got some wounds, the detectives and police are coming, right? The objectivity of it is that my sponsor had loved me so much. It was a guy, he passed away, Daryl. He used to see me in the mall. He'd be like, just come home. You got a message. I'm like, I ain't got nothing to say. I ain't got nothing. Nobody's going to need anything from me. I ain't got nothing to give nobody. He's like, but you're clean. And I didn't figure that out, right? And after we sit at the hospital, she got 22 stitches. She didn't tell the police on me, I mind you. She's a good friend. She's a keeper. she's a keeper because when they came, she didn't tell on me. But the thing is, when I ran back into the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous, because I was scared, right? As bad as I was, my ass didn't want to go back to jail again, right? So I'll be laughing because, you know, some of us old folks, we want to be telling people we're going to beat their ass, what we're going to do to them. We know damn well we can't do a whole lot. But we think we got a good 2 seconds left in us. That's you know right. What I'm saying? To give out that 1-2. But when I ran back up into the meeting, and I tell you that they loved on me because I was ready. And when I say I was ready, right? So I told you in the beginning, I had did step work. Traditions, kind of my sponsors, he's on it. I've done all of that. I called my sponsor on the phone. And I said, you know what? I think I'm ready to tell you the truth about me. I said, I think I'm ready to do my step work and tell you the truth about me. And that's a miracle within itself. So this is... We were doing our fourth step, right? So I'm doing my fourth step. So the last couple of questions in the booklet, you know, my sponsor's like reading off the question. I'm like, look, check it out. We could talk about it. But I ain't getting ready to write that shit down. Now, I'm going to tell you what happened, but we ain't getting ready to put this stuff on paper because I don't know where it's going to end up at. You ain't getting ready to send me to jail with my own shit. So we could talk about it. And he said, okay, let's talk about it. But the thing is, like, when you're ready, the teacher's going to appear.
Yes.
Right? When you are, look, and people is like, you know, you can't sit here for years and, you know, not do this and not do that and not do this. It says a desire to stay clean. It don't say a damn thing about my behavior. What it says is that as I do the work in this program, my behavior will change.
Come on.
Right? So I can sit here and say, yeah, I'm doing the step work, I'm soon as, but it's honest work. It ain't just work, it's honest work, right? Because I had to get down into the core of what made me feel like I was still walking in darkness clean. Yeah. Something had me still feeling like I needed to walk in darkness clean, right? And then I took on a husband. Why, I don't know. But I took on a husband that I dated when I was a teenager in the midst of my addiction, right? He found me on Facebook. I hate that shit today, Facebook. I'm like, what the hell with that? You know, and we started dating and we started talking and like, you don't know the damage that you've done to people until they tell you. But if you're ready to accept some of the honesty, because I had to tell one of my sponsors, I said, sometimes it's good to sit down and shut the hell up and let them finish telling you what's bothering them. Even if you don't like it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's not a whole lot inclusiveness. I know that it comes with us sitting in here and allowing newcomers to know that they're welcome. That no matter what, we're going to love them. You know what I'm saying? We ain't separated by color. We're not separated by religion. We're not separated by anything. This is the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And the only way that we get strength is for us to love each other another day.
Our workshop, if you want to circle, close.